Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel. If I got it right, we're on day 9 of this Russian defeat. Well, not quite completely defeat, but the Russians being pushed back in a rout in some sectors, the Ukrainian invasion of Russia. Now, the Ukrainians say they don't intend to keep any Russian sovereign soil. They don't claim a millimeter of the Russian Federation for themselves, unlike Russia, which is lying all the time, breaking international law on a massive scale, which is reneging on treaties that's signed and ratified again and again and again. And obviously, Moscow's word is totally untrustworthy. I'm afraid the Kremlin has proved itself to be completely dishonorable, recognizing Ukraine as a sovereign state again and again at the Belavezha Accords, 1994 Budapest Memorandum, but other treaties as well. A treaty even in 2003 signed by Putin himself, recognizing the demarcation of Ukraine's land borders and the delimitation of the maritime border and so forth, having diplomatic relations on the basis of sovereign equality with Ukraine. But Ukraine has traced the Russians back into their own territory, attacking just east of Sumy against conscripts who are very wet behind the ears from basic training and taking at least 100 prisoners. May not seem that many, but you know the Ukrainians probably hold under 1,000 Russian prisoners themselves, whereas Russia holds is thought to be over 2,000 prisoners of war, as well as tens of thousands of civilians whom they've kidnapped, particularly children, as well as obviously a few million under illegal occupation. In fairness, some of those under illegal occupation are happy about it. But this could all end in tears for the Ukrainians. Are they going to overstretch themselves? Could they be surrounded, forced to surrender, cut off from munitions, fuel, and everything else? Because at some point, Russia's going to get its act together. It's debatable how long that's going to take. Now, they're already doing it, have rushed reinforcements to the area, started digging trenches. We know that Russia is not good at improvisation, is very poor at all-arm cooperation. Everyone saw that in the initial invasion on the 24th of February, 2022, when it was chaotic. Well, there's the fog of war. They say things always go wrong. A few miscommunications. People don't go as far as they think they would, or they go further. Obviously, geolocating yourself is actually quite easy these days. It used to be very difficult in the old days to read maps. I know map reading skills is a big part of soldiering, but occasionally they get it wrong. Vehicles will break down. So, yeah, there are a few cock-ups in every army. But it seems to me the Russian army was far more prone to them than anybody else because they didn't maintain their vehicles. Some of the fuel had been stolen. Some of the winter's tires had been filched and sold off on the black market. Some of the soldiers hadn't been issued with rations or rations that expired years before. Just loads and loads of really fundamental things that they got wrong, never mind trying to do any of the sophisticated stuff. But sheer numbers will eventually tell. So I think the Russians are going to push the Ukrainians back. It might take another week, maybe a few weeks. Not saying that they're going to push Ukraine out of Russia completely, but to, you know, Ukraine easily 30 kilometers inside Russia. But the question is, do they push further east or do they try and push further south? I'm going for further south, more towards Kharkiv, well, towards Belgorod, which is the Russian city. A fairly small city, you know, a couple hundred thousand people, not far from the border. And that is a real transport hub. That's the nexus for Russian logistics. An awful lot of trucks and trains go through there, supplying the front line. And they've already cut some road and railway lines, but they cut even more. Then it'll be a lot more difficult for the Russians at the front to receive the munitions they need. And remember, they're very munitions thirsty because their weapons are quite inaccurate. They rely on volume of fire, not accuracy. And then if they don't have enough shells, missiles, bullets, everything else, they're going to stop firing. And the Ukrainians will be able to hit them. Russians will be able to hit back. Will they pull back eventually? And so on. So that's why something like 150,000 Russians have left the area. But nevertheless, the Russians are still keeping up the pressure in East Ukraine. There's no let up around the Pokrovsk area in Donetsk region, which may well fall to the Russians despite this. So that they're inching forward. So they're only a few kilometers from the city, and it's being shelled more and more because Putin says, well, I'm not going to play their game. They want me to withdraw, but I'm not going to do it. But the trouble is, if he doesn't, then Russia will be losing more territory, expanding that oil spot. Not quite creating a panic in Russia, but obviously it's deeply embarrassing for Putin, who was sort of the tough guy, Mr. Strength, who would defend Russia no matter what. And nobody, no ruler of Russia has lost territory since 1941. And they've lost it, even if only temporarily. But so the Ukrainians put us in their best troops there. But yeah, it could all end in a catastrophe for them. But I mean, obviously, they realize this. And that's why I think eventually they will pull back a bit. They've made their supply lines longer and therefore the Russians shorter. I mean, OK, not the ones who are cut off near in the Kharkiv sector. But the Russians who are actually in Kursk region and Belgorod region. So Putin's going to have to scrape troops together from somewhere else. His other borders are very lightly guarded indeed. I always thought if I was Xi Jinping, I would say this would be the time to go over the bridge at Blagoveshchensk, or whatever it's called, the one bridge over the Amur River between the Chinese People's Republic and the Russian Federation, and claim huge swathes of territory that the Chinese lost to the Tsar in the late 19th century. And what could Putin do about it? I mean, he could try and cut off the oil and gas. I would just seize a lot of the oil and gas fields because, you know, only about 1% of the Russian military is in the Far East at the moment. So Putin's going to have to send real second raters and some show horse units, the people who trained for the Victory Day parade all year long. No wonder they can march in step. The lucky guys who get to stand like this when that murderer came back from Berlin, that Vadim Krasikov. So they just have to look good, but not actually fight. And so that's a cushy number. But now they're being sent to be killed on what for Russia is, of course, the Western Front. So Ukraine claims they control 1,150 square kilometers and 82 settlements. Some of these are hamlets, just a few houses. But obviously, they're probably exaggerating a bit. So they've used dozens of tanks. It said that they're the British donated tanks, the Challenger 2s, have been used. The United Kingdom only gave 14, one of which was destroyed last year. The question is, it might have been a smarter era to use some Soviet tanks. And they have used some Soviet era tanks on the basis that if you capture Russian ones, you could use them or use some fuel you find left over from the Russians, use some of the shells for the Soviet era tanks and stuff like that. And obviously some infantry are going in as well. I thought the thing to do would just be to commandeer Russian civilian cars and go around at those. It also makes you a bit less identifiable. So they are near Suja, but they're still quite some way from Belgorod. I mean, it's doubtful that they'll get there because it's over 100 kilometers away, but just to threaten Belgorod. And that's why Russia's had to evacuate all these civilians. And some of those will filter all the way back to Moscow, and that will sort of put a chill wind up the back of many Russians. So, I mean, it's not an existential threat to Russia. Russia's not even going to lose a whole region. So obviously you mustn't overstate this, and it could go badly wrong for Ukraine. They've gambled quite heavily on this, but I mean, you know, they've got something like 1,000 tanks and they're risking under 100 of them. I thought, well, should you just go large? And if you sent almost half your tank fleet, you'd get all the way to Belgorod because it's an offensive weapon. Otherwise, these tanks are sitting there behind the lines, really doing nothing, only just in case there's a Russian breakthrough. I mean, they can be used for fire support a bit. So as you got them, let's use them. We'll not fight on ground of the enemy's choosing. We'll fight in a time and place that we choose to break through. We're going to hit them in the soft underbelly. So anyway, there have been all these mealy-mouthed statements from Russia saying, oh, well, we're digging trenches. And the thing is, obviously, Ukraine to get there before the Russians are able to build some proper defenses. Because the cataclysm last summer was Ukraine attacking exactly where Russia expected and almost at exactly the time they expected. So they built up some very, very formidable defenses, the sort of weakened line with trenches and underground bunkers and minefields and all these machine gun nests with interlocking fields of fire and paths for the Russians to retreat and all these barbed wire fences and everything like that. So it was a very tough nut to crack, which is why Ukraine made minimal ground at quite a high cost. And here it's been a major gain. I mean, much more has been gained in a week that was gained in like a year. Well, let's see, from the end of September 2022, big Russian Ukrainian counteroffensive, over the next year or so, they gained very little, went about 16 kilometers forward. They've always gone something like 35 kilometers into Russia already. But yeah, it still could go badly wrong. They've got to know when enough is enough, when to retreat. And then that's the trouble, is to have an orderly withdrawal and not a rout. And people could be left behind. One thing about taking prisoners, obviously slows you down. Someone's got to escort them back to wherever secure area is, takes troops away from the front line. Right. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. I don't think it's going to end in disaster. I reckon that the Ukrainians are nimble enough, are wily enough to know when to pull back and not to overextend themselves. Of course, I could be wrong. Thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.